This is an ABC podcast.
Well, we just voted.
Yep.
And Jill's off to do an interview. But thanks for taking the time to cover it. And as we are.
Who did you vote for today?
I voted for a guy named Trump.
Thank you very much, everybody.
No one knows quite what's going to happen to America after today. But instead of just letting the chaos of what is undeniably going to be a very chaotic 12 hours wash over us, today's episode is all about telling you, as best we can, where this fight will be won and lost, and what to watch out for. I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley, and today on The Signal, your guide to Election Day in the US. It's happening.
It is finally happening. The thing that we have spoken about probably once a week on average for at least the last 18 months.
It feels like more. So in some ways, this election is going to be chaotic. But in others, we actually have a pretty good idea of how it's going to run, at least for the first part of proceedings.
Right. I mean, elections are very scripted events. There are so many rules. Not to mention a very tight schedule.
So we tend to start at New Hampshire and the East Coast generally, and then we move west until we hit poor old Hawaii last, which is always the last place to open and the last place to close. So normally they actually know the election result before people have finished voting in Hawaii, depending on how close the election is, of course.
This is Dr. Sean Ratcliffe. He's a lecturer in political science at the US Studies Centre at the University of Sydney.
Some people actually started voting a month ago. The number of people this year in particular that are voting early is pretty crazy. So you could really say that we're almost at the end of the election. It started weeks ago. As of Sunday night, over 90 million Americans had already voted. So some estimates I've seen have put the total number of votes that might be cast this election as high as 150 million. And in some states like Texas, the number of early votes actually exceeds the total number of votes cast in 2016. So it seems likely this will be a record turnout.
So all those votes will be counted, or at least the counting will begin, late this morning, Australian time. And in some states, results will emerge surprisingly fast, a little over an hour after polls close, in fact, if experience is anything to go by.
It depends on the state's rules regarding early votes, in particular mail ballots. So Florida, for instance, the state allows mail ballots to be processed and counted before Election Day. So the results from Florida will likely be released very fast. Minnesota, which is another key state, that allows mail ballots to be processed and counted before Election Day as well. So once again, we might get preliminary results very shortly after 8 p.m. local time in Minnesota, which is a little bit after midday, I think, in Sydney here where I am. Michigan has different rules for different counties. So bigger jurisdictions allow mail ballots to be processed on November 2, but other jurisdictions have to wait until Election Day. So it varies from state to state. Well, then we've got Pennsylvania, right, which is another key state. They don't allow mail ballots to be counted or processed until Election Day. So even if they get their ballots that were cast on the day done quite fast, the mail ballots might take days. So we might not have even a preliminary result, you know, that we can be confident in from Pennsylvania for a couple of days after the election.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court justices decided to extend the state's mail-in ballot deadline, which means thousands more votes could be counted.
Mail-in ballots can be counted if they get to election officials by 5 p.m. on Friday, November 6th. That's three extra days beyond what existing law allows.
So some of the East Coast states with really big margins will most likely be called before any others that Sean just mentioned.
Right, so for example, Vermont, a solid blue state, might technically be first, but Sean was talking there about battleground states. And the reason they matter so much is because of America's unique method of choosing its leader, which bears zero resemblance to ours, the Electoral College.
So in the United States, with only a couple of exceptions, the presidential election is decided not by the popular vote. So it doesn't really matter who wins the total number of votes. As we know, in 2016, Hillary Clinton received 3 million more votes than Donald Trump, but obviously isn't the president of the United States right now. And that's because the American president is elected by the Electoral College, and the Electoral College is elected by individual states. So really what matters, who wins each state. And to make things a little bit more complicated still, it's not that if you win 51% of the vote in, say, California, you get 51% of the Electoral College votes. If you win 51% of the vote in California, you get 100% of the Electoral College votes. So in most states, it's winner takes all. There's only two exceptions to that, Nebraska and Maine, which have a more complicated system, and I won't delve into that too deeply, but they do divvy up their Electoral College votes a bit differently, but they're both quite small as well. All the other states are winner takes all. So if you win Florida by a single vote, you get all 29 Electoral College votes from Florida. And that's why we spend a lot of time looking at key battleground states, because we know beforehand, almost certainly, that Joe Biden will win California and get all 55 Electoral College votes from California. We know that Donald Trump will win Alabama and get all 9 Electoral College votes from Alabama. So what it comes down to really are a small number of states where the result is likely to be quite close.
Okay, so what are the battleground states?
So in the north of the country, and these were the ones that were a bit of a surprise last time, and we've got Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania that Donald Trump all won, but had been won by Barack Obama, and they were big surprises in 2016.
You know what's looking good? Pennsylvania's looking good.
Everyone agreeing on the importance of Pennsylvania. 4 years ago, Donald Trump turned history on its head here, thanks to many Democrats crossing over.
The president is trying to repeat a victory here, as polling shows Joe Biden's consistent lead tightening.
There's also up there Ohio in the Midwest as well, which wasn't as big a surprise, but is a sort of key pivotal state that's normally won by the winner of the election.
For decades, all routes to the White House have gone through here. Ohio has voted for the winner in every presidential election since 1964. Polls show Joe Biden and Trump in a dead heat here, where Trump won handily in 2016.
Then in the south of the country, you have Florida, which Donald Trump also won and tends to go to the winner.
Florida is absolutely critical, a must win for the president. It has the most electoral votes of any of the key swing states.
We're winning big in Florida.
The president is projecting confidence, but the polls show Biden with a slight lead.
And also maybe a little bit less pivotal, but we've got North Carolina as well, which is just a little bit above Florida, which is looking close this time around. And then over in the west, we've got Arizona.
Okay, so all in all, about 7 states, and they're all close, but some are closer than others and carry more votes in the Electoral College.
So the one that people, most people think will probably be the closest, the one that, you know, ultimately whoever wins this will probably win the election, is Pennsylvania. It's looking that Biden may likely win it, but it's relatively close. And if Donald Trump does manage to win Pennsylvania, it's hard to see a path to victory for Joe Biden. But at the same time, Donald Trump really has to win Pennsylvania. If he doesn't win it, it's almost impossible for him to find a majority in the Electoral College.
Okay, so if you take nothing else from this episode, watch Pennsylvania. It is going to be decisive, but as discussed, it is also going to be one of the slower results to come in.
Right, much slower than, say, Florida.
Yeah, so Florida is also pretty key. It's probably more important for Donald Trump than Joe Biden. Although it'd be difficult, we can see a path to victory for Biden without winning Florida. Florida has been won by the winner of every election for decades. It's very close to 50-50, in part because it's a sort of demographically and geologically diverse state. So it's got a sort of bit of everything there. So it tends to be very close down the wire.
Okay, so close and important, but as Sean said, its mail-ins have already been counted, so expect a much quicker result.
Yeah, and it's this disparity in the timing of results between key states like Florida and Pennsylvania that has some commentators talking about something called a red mirage.
So the red mirage scenario is that the results on the night may look like a Trump victory, partially because, say, let's say he wins Florida and some other key states and looks like he's ahead, but not all the mail ballots have been collected. So it looks like at the moment over 60 million people have voted by mail. So that may be more than a third of all the votes cast. So there are some theories, and we obviously won't know until the ballots have been cast, but there is some idea that the mail ballots may favor the Democratic Party or the Democratic candidates more heavily than the ballots cast in person on Election Day.
The polls have been telling us that Democratic voters, far more than Republican voters, plan to vote early, whether it's in person early, whether it's by mail. Republicans saying they're much more likely to vote on Election Day. And I urge folks, keep this in mind whenever we see these early voting numbers.
Now, if that's the case in some states like Pennsylvania, it may look on the night that Donald Trump has won, even states like Pennsylvania, as well as Florida and some others, and he may declare victory. In fact, he's intimated that he will declare victory if it looks like he's ahead on the night. Now, the problem, obviously, is if then afterwards more ballots are counted, some of these mail-in ballots in places like Pennsylvania are counted a bit slowly, and it turns out, well, actually, Donald Trump didn't win Pennsylvania. So there's that sort of concern that the results that we get on the night won't necessarily be the same results we get once all the ballots have been counted.
So this red mirage is a very real possibility, and a risky one when you have the Trump campaign keen to call the race on the night. Slightly less likely, but nevertheless possible, is a blue mirage scenario.
There's less concern about a blue mirage in that it's expected that the votes counted on the day won't favour the Democratic scenario. So I'm not sure we're as worried about it looking like a Democratic win on the night and then going the other way. That seems less likely.
So with all that in mind, you can see how analysts have arrived at the prediction that it might take days or even weeks before this is settled.
With high confidence, it could be several days. That seems likely. The only way we're going to know on the night, really, like with any great confidence, is if one candidate wins by a lot. And when I say win by a lot, this doesn't just have to be total popular vote, but in those key states. So say if Joe Biden wins Florida and Pennsylvania very easily, places like North Carolina or even Georgia, then we might be quite confident on the night that he's won. Now, that won't be officially signed off for days or weeks necessarily, but we could probably be pretty confident of the outcome. But if some of those key states like Florida and Pennsylvania look close, then we can't be as confident. And it might take some time. And what will make this an even more drawn-out process is it looks fairly clear that there is going to be some legal action disputing the vote. So the Trump campaign in particular have made it very, very clear that they plan to be quite litigious in any close states.
I think it's a terrible thing when ballots can be collected after an election. I think it's a terrible thing when people or states are allowed to tabulate ballots for a long period of time after the election is over. We're going to go in the night of, as soon as that election's over, we're going in with our lawyers.
And last I heard, the Trump campaign and the Republican Party had contracted about 8,000 lawyers to work on various legal cases in close states.
8,000 lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. So I like to say that US presidential elections are basically a major stimulus effort for both the advertising industry and the legal industry.
Are the Dems lawyering up to the same extent? Do we know?
I don't think it's to the same extent. So just to make it clear, like a certain amount of that is normal for the US. It isn't unusual for campaigns and parties to have lawyers on hand to challenge anything that they believe is irregular or improper. Now, the concern this time around is that the Trump campaign is going to be more litigious than normal. And in fact, they already have been. So the Trump campaign and the Republican Party have launched a couple of dozen lawsuits already to try and stop states from counting mail ballots. In some cases, they've been successful and they've already had mail ballots ruled out or certain types of mail ballots ruled out. And in some cases, they've been unsuccessful. So it wouldn't be surprising if a few states ended up in the Supreme Court if they're close.
So it's not hard for Sean to picture this taking days or longer. And the whole time, supporters of each candidate might worry that the election is being stolen from the rightful president.
We've actually just done some polling in the US in the last month, asking Americans whether they believe that the country should accept the result if the other party won. So we asked people that said they'd vote for Joe Biden if Americans should accept a Trump win, and we asked Trump voters if they thought that Americans should accept Biden as president, and the majority actually say no. So most Americans actually don't support or accept the legitimacy of the other party's candidates.
given that, Sean, and you said before that elections are a sort of stimulus for advertising and lawyers, but in the last couple of days, it looks like it's also a stimulus for people that sell like timber paneling that shops are using to protect their windows.
Businesses across New York City are boarding up in preparation for possible protest and violence on Election Day. The NYPD says it is prepared for any unrest. But as Eyewitness News reporter N.J. Burkett shows us, business owners are taking precautions.
How likely is some kind of violent unrest, do you think, which, you know, a lot of businesses seem to be preparing for? Do you think that's a likely outcome in the event of a close election and these ongoing court battles?
I hope not, but it is a concerning sign. Obviously, as you said, there's a number of cities, places like Denver, New York, Washington, D.C., businesses have been boarding up shopfront windows. Just yesterday, our time, we saw Trump supporters, people in cars with Trump flags, blocking highways in and out of New York, in Washington State and in Texas. And we had another group of sort of a convoy of cars with Trump flags trying to run a Biden campaign bus off the road in Texas. So there's already been some, you know, not all out violence, but, you know, worrying signs, not sort of normal behavior you see during an election campaign.
Some of that research that you've done, Sean, looks at cases where there has been post-election violence in countries around the world. And there are a series of markers that predispose that country to that kind of activity. Isn't it true that the US doesn't actually have most of those markers in that they do have these sort of strong democratic institutions still, and this hasn't really happened to them before? They haven't really had a major outbreak of civil unrest as a result of an election.
Yeah, that's true. So the US is obviously a very successful representative democracy and has been for a long time. So you're right that normally, and up until now, I don't think any of us seriously considered this a concern. And I think the fact that we are at least a little bit worried this year is a combination of a few different things. And one is the intense polarization we've seen, where Democrats and Republicans are just moving further and further apart on key issues. And then as they do, they also look at each other and see each other as, you know, less legitimate and less, they're less able to accept the other side winning. And then I think the rhetoric we've seen coming from some leaders, particularly I'd say Donald Trump is probably one of the worst offenders here, that doesn't reduce the tensions but inflames them, you know, makes this a little bit more likely. The chances of widespread violence are low, except that we have seen a couple of worrying sort of signs the last couple of days.
Okay, so thinking about the day ahead here in Australia, if you just wanted to know what the big takeout of Election Day is and not go completely insane watching it, what time, say, in Eastern Daylight Time, should you check your phone?
Yeah, so as I said, Florida will come in pretty early, so midday. That won't necessarily tell us much. I hope we know something by 4 p.m. or even a little bit earlier. I mean, in 2016, even though it was pretty close, it was getting obvious by 2 or 3 that Trump would possibly win. So if we're lucky and all goes smoothly, we will hopefully know by early afternoon, you know, 3 p.m., 4 p.m., who's going to win. But it, as I said, it could drag out. So it might be like, come back next week and have a look. I honestly hope that's not the case, but you know, I've come to hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Mute notifications until kind of
just,
like...
Just go on holidays for a week. Go to, you know, go somewhere nice and remote with no internet, and then just come back in a week and hopefully we've got a winner for you then.
Come back on January 20. Do not check your phone until January 20.
Inauguration Day. So possibly, I hope not. You know, it's hard to know. Like, especially this year, it's sort of like easy to sort of go, it's going to be the worst possible outcome. But you know, a good outcome would be we know by 2 p.m.
That is the signal for today. Good luck. And we'll be back in your feed at the same time tomorrow.
Catch you then. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.